About 25 minutes left of the download here on 720 WGN. I'm Matt Bubala filling in for Justin Kaufman tonight. Don Norton's up in the newsroom. Esmeralda Leon, of course, handling traffic. And our very own John Williams, I believe, is checking in right now. Hello, John Williams.
What makes you think I'm going to check in?
Well, you know, I don't know. I figure I'll just keep calling every hour until you answer the phone.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah. Were you out celebrating the 4th of July? Were you lighting your
sprinkler? I had the ringer off on my phone, and then I was watching some fireworks. We had some sparklers. I got distracted, Matt. I'll be straight up with you.
I appreciate.
It's not like you're not important to me, though.
Yeah, no, not at all. I appreciate the honesty, John Williams. You know, you worked for a guy for 10 years. You figure when you come back, you get to host your own show. He'll show up, help you out a little bit. Maybe not so much.
Oh, don't you do that to me. With the exception of the last time that you asked me to come on at 2 in the morning, I think I have a pretty good track record of honoring our past.
It's okay.
Wow.
It's okay.
Wow.
But I wanted to, you know, pay fealty to you and talk about Teddy Roosevelt coming to town on August 13th at the MAC at the College of DuPage.
I'm pretty psyched about this.
Yeah, you've done these events many times over the years, many Thomas Jefferson shows, not as many TR shows. Why is Teddy coming to town this time?
Well, two reasons, and you would know. You're the one that's produced him all these years. I mean, I did it, but you were the one that was kind of doing all the labor-intensive work before, during, and after, including editing them for broadcast.
Yeah.
But we're doing two shows this year just because it's a presidential election year, and it just seems like there are two really good opportunities for people to sort of hear what Thomas Jefferson's thoughts would be, what would the Founding Fathers say about what's happening this year, and Teddy Roosevelt's. We're going to do Jefferson closer to the election itself. That's just going to be awesome. It'll be the week of the election, Jefferson. So that'll be like sad or horrific or exciting. I have no idea because I just don't know what's going to be happening in the world then. But in advance of that, Teddy Roosevelt, August 13th at 10 a.m. at the College of DuPage. And, you know, he's more rollicking. He's fun. He's funny. He's a story a minute.
That's
a good show.
That I remember from the Teddy shows with Jefferson, it was this debate the whole time between you and Jefferson. You keep throwing stuff at him. With Teddy, you kind of introduce him and then walk off for about an hour, as I recall.
That's about true. He makes fun of whatever I'm wearing and then starts telling stories about going up San Juan Hill or being a cowboy in the Badlands or just, you know, the remarkable life that he led. It's fun.
But Teddy will also talk about our life today and our politics today a bit, too, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, you know, I think I was listening back to one of the CDs that you produced today, in fact, and invariably somebody asked, would you be a Republican or a Democrat today? Because, you know, in a lot of ways, he has the Rough Rider image of a Republican, and yet at the same time, many of the things that he stood for were very, very Democratic today.
Yeah.
And so just for the people who maybe aren't real acquainted with these shows, Matt, because, you know, I haven't been there every day for a while, but there's this, I hate to look behind the curtain too much, but a guy named Clay Jenkinson, and he's maybe America's foremost scholar on Jefferson, and I've never seen him miss a beat on Roosevelt. He comes on stage with me. We talk for about 30, 40 minutes, then we take questions from the audience. And anything you would want to ask him, you know, about how he became president, about the surviving an assassination attempt himself, you pick it. His hunting, his bloodlust, he was really a character. You know, he'll answer those questions. He'll reflect on 100 years ago, or he'll talk about, you know, Hillary and Donald, if you want him to do that.
Yeah. So people will get their opportunity to ask questions. Tickets are $30. You can buy tickets right now. You can buy them online. There's a link at WGNradio.com/events. There's a phone number for the MAC box office. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, noon to 6. So go to WGNradio.com/events, and you can jump on there. Now, John, I haven't had a chance to talk with you a lot in the last few months about this presidential election. And whenever I'm on the radio here filling in or doing my show overnights, it comes up quite a bit because it just dominates our news headlines.
Yeah.
What have you been thinking and saying about these two candidates and where we're headed?
Maybe too much. I mean, time I bring it up, if you have the same text line technology I do, we should stop reading that. I don't know, because people just, on the one hand, are exhausted, and they don't want to hear about it anymore. And yet, let's face it, when you turn on the TV in the morning, listen to the radio, you open the newspaper, you're kind of looking for the Trump stuff. What's it going to be today? What crazy stuff is it going to be today?
That leads to the question, John, because you're saying that's what we tend to do here in the media is this is really something, you know, it's quite honestly, it reminds me of when we were covering Bill and Monica or OJ. That's always something we can talk about. So it's kind of the easy thing to talk about. Do you think that the media is partly to blame, if blame is the right word, for what we have here in Donald Trump?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, Matt. And I've been hearing that more lately, and I'm actually coming around a little bit to that. We've created this monster, but, you know, I say monster, you may say hero. So, forgive me for that, but that's just my attitude. I guess we own some of that, but the media wasn't trying to help him. The mainstream media is liberal. The mainstream media does not like Donald Trump. You watch the selection of stories on CNN, New York Times, MSNBC, you know, maybe those all have kind of a liberal bent, but you just look at the mainstream media and the selection of stories they do, and every day it seems like they're mining something critical of Donald Trump.
But
like they're trying to help him.
They're not, but doesn't that somewhat still play into Donald Trump? Because the people that are voting for him are probably the ones screaming about the mainstream media, and so every time there's a negative story about him, while that's going to affect him overall, for his base at least, it seems to have only helped him.
I think the only, if we were all going to go to a meeting and say, okay, what are we going to do to make sure Trump doesn't happen? What we would have said and done is let's cover him a lot less. But there was no meeting and nobody knew that he was going to blow up the way he did. And of course, the media would never cop to something like that because they think they're playing it neutral. I don't think they are. I almost think. I mean, my attitude about it is I think Donald Trump is toxic enough for America that you almost have an obligation. It's like, you know, you have to be neutral. You have to be fair. Don't misreport the information. Don't lie. But if you're a talk show host, which I am, I'm not Steve Bertrand. I'm not Judy Pylak. I'm not doing not Andrea Darlis. I'm not doing the news.
Right.
I'm just a guy with an opinion here. And my opinion is that he's toxic enough that I have an obligation to try and steer the ship what little I can towards sanity. By the way, I'm not a big fan of Hillary Clinton this year.
Well, that's the interesting thing.
That's beside the point.
You hear so many people that rail about Trump, and then I'm like, so you're going to vote for Hillary? Oh, God, no, I wouldn't vote for Hillary. So I'm like, well, you're probably doing one or the other. I don't think Ralph Nader's suddenly winning the presidency this year.
Yeah, there is an independent. Jeff Johnson is his name, and you know, in some of those surveys, he pulls 10%. I don't know if that's going to be a factor down the road. But they're nip and tuck right now, the two of them.
You know, on our Steve Cochran show here every weekday morning on Thursdays, they have Eric Edelstein and Pat Brady in, a Democrat and a Republican who bicker and fight about the two parties like crazy, statewide and nationwide. And I filled in for Steve last week, and they were in. And Pat, who is a delegate, was saying he still believes that they're going to push this thing and maybe they'll get something done at the convention. He's not sold on the fact that Donald's really going to walk away with this thing. This is only a couple weeks away. Do you feel in what you're hearing and reading and talking about that there is enough push that maybe Trump won't actually be the nominee?
No. And if I had any shred of yes in me, it would be for Rubio. And that doesn't look like that's going to happen, right? I mean, this year, every time we've said, oh, I've got it figured out, we've all learned that we don't.
Right.
Remember, I'm the guy that said Trump won't be the nominee, and if he is, I'll wash your camper. So we're doing a big camper wash here on Friday the 22nd, where for 6 hours I will be washing and waxing about a mile-long line of campers. So what do I know? But I would think Rubio would have been the guy. I thought he was going to be the candidate all along.
That is set up for after the convention, right?
The day after.
Good.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll still get lucky. How great would that be? Because right now you're thinking, this sucks. I got to watch all these campers.
But isn't it a little like the Brexit, Matt? That is, if you say, Trump's not officially the nominee, and the conversation we're having would preclude him officially becoming the nominee. But still, the point is that if he is on a course to do what the Republican voters in this country want, then you shouldn't steal it away from him or them. And it's the same way with Brexit. You wake up the next day and go, holy crap, what do we do? And you say, well, you voted to exit the European Union, and now you have to live with that. And by the way, a lot of people want to live with that. So that's what you got to do now. Okay, elections have consequences.
Elections do have consequences. I you know, but hey, the Republican Party is not actually owned by the people. It's owned by the Republican Party, and they kind of say, okay, we'll let you have a say in this. They still hold the final, you know, they hold the cards. So technically, they can do whatever the heck they want.
I think that's a good point.
And they could argue if they really wanted to. And I'm not saying they should, because I don't think this is going to. I think they're. I know that it's about the down ticket elections now. And then the concern is that he's going to cost us not just the presidency, but all these other offices if we leave him on there, because Hillary is the president if they don't allow Donald Trump to be the nominee. There's no doubt about that. He will burn that party down if they push him off that ballot. However, at least in this instance, I think they could argue that more votes were cast not for him than were vote for him in all the Republican primaries, right? I mean, he still, I know once people dropped out, he got more and more and more, but I think if you add up all the 16 other nominees and all the votes that were cast, you could still say a majority of the Republican voters did not vote for Donald Trump.
Or voted for Hillary and Bernie.
Well, you have to leave them aside, but you're saying that, you know, if the people voted for him, they got to put him in. I think the one argument they could say is, no, the people didn't vote for him. They voted for him more than they voted for the 18 other people.
Well, you're changing the rules now just to fit your agenda there, aren't you?
Well, that's what's called the democratic process for the Republicans and the Democrats.
It's not in the Constitution. No, you're right.
They do whatever they want.
The Republicans can do whatever they want. It's their show, so they can do it. I think the consideration they have to make is, okay, so if we do that, we won't win the, you know, they're not going to win the presidency that way.
No.
The Trump people aren't going to say, oh, okay, we'll vote for Jeb Bush. So that doesn't happen. So what you're really doing is just taking a four-year marker. You're just saying, let's just look, this happened, we're not going to win this year, but better that we pull out now and start to rejigger for 4 years from now rather than try to win with Trump.
Think about how
at least then you'd have your dignity. At least then you'd say we preserved the party even though Trump kind of stood in the way.
Think about how crazy that is that they would actually entertain and that delegates to their party are actually mustering up the courage to try to say we want to stop this from happening because they're so concerned that this is so bad for their party and that it actually hurts them in all these other elections. I mean, that's,
I don't know that it's delegates
unprecedented.
I don't know that it's delegates, though. I think it's Mitt Romney and it's.
But there's also you know the story about the woman in Denver who's supposedly leading this whole thing with 1,000 delegates now that have been on this call that want to rewrite the rules that you can abstain because of your conscience and you don't have to vote on the first thing. And they think there's other ways. I mean, they're really trying to muster this together. So even within the party itself and Mitt Romney and more named players, but a lot of smaller controllers of the Republican Party seem to be thinking. I'm just amazed that, I mean, think about this moment in history, John. This is, we haven't talked about this in our lifetimes. We probably won't again.
Yeah, but you know who's had a bad week? You know who had a really bad week?
I don't.
Hillary Clinton did.
See, nobody knows that.
Well, I mean, no, they do, right?
I mean, how did she have a really bad week?
Well, this Benghazi report wasn't great for her, right?
Yes, it was, because it didn't get talked about that much. Did it really get talked about that much in the mainstream and stuff? I think it was kind of overall brought as there was no smoking gun. And I know many sides would say there were a lot of smoking guns, but other people, I think no smoking gun won out in the general overall view of it, didn't
it? There was nothing remarkably new there. I mean, I'll give you that.
That's a huge win for Hillary then. Come on.
Boy, that's a low bar then.
Plus, absolutely, it's a low bar. Look at these two.
She's testifying, and she does 2.5 hours yesterday before the FBI. Just think about that. It's still possible that she'll be brought up on criminal or federal charges as she is running for the presidency, before she's even the nominee. Eric Zorn on our podcast, The Mincing Rascals, said something along the lines of, well, they can't run her if she's indicted, right? They can't run her if she's actually got charges against her. I said, oh, yes, they can. Watch. But, I mean, I don't know that the Democrats are just clicking their heels saying this is our thing to lose right now. She and Donald are nip and tuck.
Yeah. Although he's been trending downward. His polls went backwards quite a bit over the last few weeks from what I heard versus when he was really pulling even with her just a few weeks ago. And I think, John, it's way too early. Everybody that's saying, oh, Trump is falling apart, he's falling apart. I think he it's way too early for that. He'll rebound like he always does. In 2 months, yeah. he'll be on top. The bigger concern seems to be that he hasn't bothered fundraising, that he hasn't helped putting the infrastructure together, and that too much pressure is put on the entire GOP. And that's also going to hurt their down-ballot candidates because there's not enough money to support everything, to support all the candidates. And there's concern that's going to really hurt them.
Well, that's why we're going to vote for Teddy Roosevelt, because somebody will say that. You watch. Somebody's going to say, please, Mr. Roosevelt, would you just run? I don't know if you saw it. I didn't see it, Matt, but the copy that we turned in, and I presume it ran for the Tribune ad for the Roosevelt show, said something like, you know, who do you want for president? A career politician, that's Hillary Clinton, or a bombastic bragger? And that may describe Donald Trump. And then the catch line was, how about both? Elect, you know, come see Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
He was a career politician. He had a person. He had an ego. Let's say that an ego the size of Donald Trump's. So
really,
it's think about that. I mean, he was. He also had the intelligence to match his ego. I mean, he was a brilliant guy. Roosevelt said he read a book a day. He wrote 35. Some of them are still read in our time. He was a brilliant man. But
see, Donald can't say that, I don't think. He's written some books.
I don't think he can. So I think it would be very interesting, and, you know, against the backdrop that you and I have been talking about, to see Teddy Roosevelt and his chaps stride out onto the stage and just say, okay, you know, I'm the guy. Let's go, you know.
That's going to happen August 13th, Saturday, August 13th at 10 a.m. at the MAC on the College of DuPage, presented by Conasec and Dillon Trial Attorneys. You can find out more at WGNradio.com/events. Tickets are on sale now. They're $30. You can buy them online at WGNradio.com/events. Click the link, or there's a phone number for the MAC box office, which is open weekdays. All right, John, I haven't had a chance to talk too much. I'm sure you've mentioned this on your show, which we hear from 1 to 3 p.m. Saturdays, and The Mincing Rascals, which is available at WGNplus.com. But 6 months from now, election's over.
Yeah.
Who are we waiting to see the inaugural ball for?
Who, in other words, who's going to win?
Yeah. Yeah, who's going to win? That was my fancy way of saying who's going to win, John.
Rubio.
Rubio's not going to win.
That was my guess. That was my guess.
That was your
along.
Guess then, but now you're allowed to change it because the whole world has gone upside down and it's craziness and it's going to change again in 3 months. But as of right now, standing there right now, what would your guess be?
The planet I was born and raised on, Matt, it's Hillary Clinton.
Okay. Is that the planet we're living on right now?
I don't know. All I know is up until now, it was Hillary Clinton. And then if it's planet Trump, I every now and then in a dark moment think, what am I going to do? What will I say? Or, you know, am I going to move to Sweden? I don't know.
I have a friend who's Canadian who's lived here her whole life, but she's always like, I'll move back to Canada. And that annoys me. Don't stop with the Sweden line, because that drives me crazy. And, you know, Teddy Roosevelt, I would hope, and Jefferson would tell you the same thing. You don't say, that's it, I'm moving out. You say, I'm going to stay here and fight for what I believe in. And if you don't
like who the leader is,
then you work towards, you know, what's a more common good goal for your country, right?
Let me ask you something. Say you win you win the Daytona 500, and the next year you get to go to the White House. Or you're the quarterback of the Bears, and you guys win the Super Bowl, and the next year you get to go to the White House, and you do the meet and greet with the president, you get the picture taken. And the president is Donald Trump. Do you go? Do you shake his hand and say, attaboy, it's a pleasure to be here?
I think that, boy, that's an interesting question, John. I think that depends on what's happened since he's taken office and how you feel about
the version of Donald Trump that we have today. Nothing's changed.
I don't know.
Because we've always said it's the office, right?
You respect the office of the president, yeah.
So do you go and shake his hand and mug like that and say, yeah, I'm happy to be here, Mr. President?
I don't know. Maybe I don't. Maybe I turn down the invitation. I guess that's a good
question.
And
we always hate that when the Democrats don't go to see Bush or the Republicans don't go to see Obama. We've always hated that.
There have been athletes who have done that.
Oh, sure.
That's for sure.
About every year.
And some of the 85 Bears didn't show up because of that, right? When the Bears finally got their day, a couple were like, I'm not going to see Obama.
I'm trying to remember who it was, but yeah, you're absolutely. I have an image in my head.
John,
the
athletes that won't show up are the least of our problems, I think, that we could worry about. I mean, who cares if some athlete doesn't want to show up?
You just asked me who I thought was going
to
win. And
I know, and you're telling me I can't imagine a world where LeBron James refuses to show up to shake his hand, so it must be Hillary.
I can't imagine a world where Durant goes to Golden State.
Warriors.
That's not even fair. In fact, if I become king someday, that's not even fair. They've got two all-star teams on that team now.
Well,
it's
and
wrong.
Durant famously was upset with LeBron when he went to Miami. He tweeted about it, and now here he is doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how much money those guys just have to give now. It's crazy. It's that's not the world I was born and raised in, Matt.
It's America, baby. Yeah. John Williams, 1 to 3 p.m. Saturdays here on WGN Radio.
Hey, your boys got All-Star Baseball coming up, right?
They do this week. There's a lot of
How
pressure.
How much fun is that?
Oh, no. I'm the manager, and it's all pressure. I can't. I'm up
oh,
all
now
night,
you don't want to talk
night.
To me, huh?
Up all
now
night.
You can't talk about
John,
it.
John, we have commercials to play. Patty Vasquez is waiting to get on the air. You'll
I
be
love
back.
You, Matt. Thanks. And say hi to your producer, Ella, for me. She grew up in my neighborhood, walked to school with my son every day.
I know. And she produced with me here for a long time. It's a circle of life, John. You're Simba and we're killing you. No, you're who was the Simba was the baby. What was the dad's name? What was the dad's name?
Ella? Mufasa.
Mufasa.
Look at that.
Mufasa, I'm sorry. They're circling. You're in trouble.
All right. Have a good show, Matt.
Thanks,
have a good life. See you later.
I will try to have a good life. Patty's up next at 720 WGN.